This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is a first-timer on the show, but it won't be the last time. Robert Cohn of NIH, and you may know him as the director of the NITAC office. Rob, welcome to the show,
man. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for coming. I start always with a little bit of background about you and how you got where you are.
Sure. So started my federal career back in Boston, Massachusetts. And I'm sure that the listeners will hear my Boston accent as we spend this hour together. But I started at the Small Business Administration, working very closely with small businesses, working with access to capital issues, working with the finance and lending institutions throughout New England, and really focusing on how to help entrepreneurs start businesses and how to help them grow businesses in as I said, the access to capital field, but also in the government contracting arena. I spent 12 years doing that, ended the career at the SBA as the deputy director of the Northeast office, and really enjoyed the partnership the SBA has with both industry and the lending institutions. So, and then I got attracted to coming down to NIH and had an opportunity to come work for the NITAC program, which is the NIH GWAC program. And I really saw some correlation to what I was doing at SBA, in which this program is really built on a partnership between industry and government, and trying to engage that both sides for a positive outcome, helping government customers meet their challenges, but also helping industry and specifically the passion and commitment to the small business community, and helping them learn and evolve in the government contracting world.
Okay, so let me ask a totally off the radar kind of question. Do you see anybody that you got money for in New England on the NITAC small biz bus?
It's funny, I do. I see, spending 12 years working with entrepreneurs and helping them grow their businesses, and now you can see, I see them entering the market down here in the where the heart of government contracting is in the D.C. area, and seeing them grow and grow into mid-size and large-size businesses. You know,
it's full circle, and it's very cool.
Yeah.
Congrats. I had a suspicion, because there's a lot of companies, IT companies in particular, on that Route 20, 128 corridor.
128 corridor is the heart, heart of the IT in the Massachusetts area.
Right. And I've seen a couple on your vehicle and others. So, I was hoping those were companies that maybe you had actually done some things with before. So that's very cool. So let's talk about the breadth. NITAC isn't a procurement office. It's the GWAC office.
That's right. So we're housed at the National Institutes of Health. Mm-hmm. Our first mission is to help support the scientists and doctors of the National Institutes of Health meet their business IT needs. And that's how the program started back in the 90s, is really to set up a program office within procurement to really help those scientists and those doctors get IT, at a more quicker and streamlined fashion. So then the Klinger-Cohen Act passed, and OMB approached the NIH to set up a GWAC program, which the IDIQ contracts could be used across the entire federal landscape and assist all the federal agencies, including DOD, to be able to more quickly get to the IT that they need. They were finding that, many have said, they were finding that by the time they were able to acquire the IT was obsolete. Because of the lengthy life cycle in the acquisition process.
And the, so rapid lifestyle or
rapid change in IT. So they've, OMB, with their wisdom, set up the GWAC programs, and we were one of the programs that they asked to be involved in that. So now we have three government-wide acquisition contracts. We have the CIO-SP3 vehicle, which is a vehicle that is used for customized solutions and services for any IT challenges that a CIO may have. We have also set up a vehicle that is CIO SP3 Small Business, and that is a business of about 90 small business contractors. And that contract is the first of its kind and unique in that as we awarded that contract, we wanted to ensure that we had representation from all of the socioeconomic set-aside categories. So we have a list of service-disabled veteran businesses or women-owned businesses and hub-zone businesses that any customer can come to and do set-asides to easily get some of those IT needs met by small businesses. But then recently, we just awarded in May the CIOCS vehicle. Now, this is the vehicle that is targeting the strategic needs of those CIOs throughout the federal government who are looking for companies who can meet the commodity type, product type IT needs, but also a strong emphasis on the cloud solutions, the cloud services, and managed services, anything that can be purchased in a fixed price environment. And the contract, I think, is very unique in that the contract holders who were went through the 2.5-3 year source selection process to get on this vehicle, have had to prove that they're able to evolve quickly. They're able to push out new technologies as those needs arise. So we ended up with 65 contract holders on that vehicle. It's a mix of value-added resellers and original equipment manufacturers, and we believe that we have the depth and breadth of all those IT needs, but with a strong emphasis, as I said, on those cloud, everything as a service, and the managed services side of the house.
Yeah, over the last week, I've been taking a deep dive into those 65 companies, and you seem to have covered the breadth and depth of the current and emerging IT landscape.
And that was exactly the challenge that we had. I mean, as you know, when you go out and you compete these types of IDIQ GWAC contracts, it is a very competitive environment. You're combing through hundreds of proposals, but our objective was to stay at it and to stay at it until we got to the number of about 65 contract holders who had the best solutions and had the best proposals and were able to prove to us that they are the companies that are going to be around for 10 years and be able to evolve as the CIO's challenges evolve and to be able to meet those needs.
Well, you said something that's intriguing to me because it's something that I try to teach when companies call and say, hey, how do I get on this contract? You said the vetting process was between 2.5 and 3 years. So when you send out the initial inquiries regarding the next iteration of one of your vehicles, what's the lead time?
Well, so one of the I feel very strongly about is the partnership with industry that a program like ours has. We can't do anything without having a strong partnership with industry. So we spend an enormous amount of time way before an RFP is written, talking with industry and talking with our customers, talking with the CIOs throughout the government to help design a contract that is going to be a contract that is relevant and is a contract that our customers need. Mm-hmm. They see a gap and they want a contract that can help fill those gaps. And spending an awful lot of time talking to industry about building an RFP that is, it's a negotiation process and going out and having industry days and sitting down with contract holders, having one-on-one meetings, through every step of the process. That's why it takes so long. Once we send out the RFP and we start receiving proposals, then we're pretty close to the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it is that time that we take beforehand to really start that conversation and to really you know, negotiate to make sure that we're meeting, building something that our customers are looking for and that is going to be relevant for a 10-year period.
Yeah, when I get enough lead time, I don't do the RFP side of things. I do the marketing side of things. Mm-hmm. But when I get enough lead time with a company that asks me about this, I walk them through the process, and I usually use LinkedIn. I say, let's type in the name of the contractual vehicle. When's it coming up? Within, you know, that 3-year time frame is what I like. So I say, let's find some proposal people that have worked on the previous iterations of this who are no longer tied to a particular vendor or are professional consultants, and bring them on your team now, and they can help you build a case for being part of that contract. Because if you wait until, you know, the RFP hits the street, you're SOL.
Right. And one of the things that one of the other reasons that we do that is because we're looking for companies to develop those partnerships with industry, looking for strong teams to come together. This contract, this new contract, CIOCS, as I said, only has 65 winners.
I heard. industry but, heard.
we really encourage them to build strong teaming partners to be able to meet the qualifications to be on this vehicle, and that's important. So, you know, I say this all the time, because you know, you sit in a room with a bunch of industry folks and you start talking about these vehicles, and you know, half the audience has the contract and half the audience is closing their eyes and saying, I don't want to listen to this because I don't have this contract. Find me another contract that I can bid on so I can be on it.
Find me another.
Yeah. Right. But that's not really the answer. The answer really is to partner up with those 65 contract holders, because there's an enormous amount of opportunity to partner up with those companies who have won these types of awards on these vehicles, and to leverage and to build those relationships so that you can strengthen. You can not only strengthen that company's potential to win at the task and delivery order level, but really help grow the vehicle and help grow their own qualifications to be able to bid and win it the next go around.
Let's pick that up on the other side of the break. My guest today is Rob Cohn of NITAC at NIH, and you're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Back after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower, because nobody else volunteered. My guest today is Rob Cohn of NITAC. If you don't know what NITAC is, you shouldn't be listening to the show. Let's pick up right where you left off. So I'm an OEM, and I'm not on the vehicle. What do I need to do to play?
So what we've done is we've set up a strong engagement program within our office. So we're reaching out, and those OEMs are reaching into us to learn how they can leverage the relationships with the value-added resellers and those companies who do have an award on this contract. There are many OEMs. There are 5,000 manufacturers of IT out there. They don't all want to sell. that's just the tip of the iceberg. They don't all want to sell direct to the federal government. They want to find the right vehicle where they can sell those solutions, sell that software, sell those managed services to the federal government through a vehicle and through the value-added resellers that have an award on that vehicle. So we have an aggressive partnership campaign, working with those IT manufacturers, also working with our contract holders that have an award on this vehicle. We have over 2,500 of those contractors of IT OEMs already signed up with our 65 companies that received an award on this vehicle. But we have an aggressive engagement plan to reach out to the companies like Amazon and SAP and Oracle and all of these companies, small or large IT manufacturers, with the intent that we want to be able to provide the CEOs a vehicle so that they can come to and find any solution that they could be looking for, and have some options from the different providers that are out there. and helping to develop those relationships with our contract holders and develop them with directly with our program, you know, is a very important initiative we have ongoing.
Okay. Unfortunately, we both know that probably the most popular contract outside of the government market that people relate to is the GSA schedule. So that's what people hear. They don't understand that GSA is not a GWAC. It's not really an IDIQ. It's just a series of contracts for particular products and some services. And they think that's a way into the market. And for some, it can be, but it's not easy. And it's usually the one-size-fits-all model doesn't work. If you only have a GSA schedule, you're not going to grow much. So where did GWACs fit into the GovCon ecosystem?
So, the way the NITAC program looks at it is very differently than I believe the GSA or the GSA schedule is. We're very much involved in a full engagement with our contract holders. We engage with them on a daily basis. We engage with them to help them be successful on these vehicles. It is not, as you said, you go get a GSA schedule, now go find some business and...
Or wait for the phone to ring.
That's not how our vehicles work. You know, of course, we leverage the relationships we have with our contract holders to help raise the awareness, to help engage with our customers, to help make sure that our customers, as you know, the vast federal government that's out there, it's hard to... you know, get the word out in front of every buyer in the federal government to go, hey, NITAC has these GWACs out there. You should consider them. That takes an aggressive campaign, an aggressive outreach strategy. And that strategy includes our contract holders. It includes those IT manufacturers engaging with them. It includes the program staff and the trainings that we, a program that we have set up to go out and sit down with contracting officers throughout the federal government. It includes engaging with the decision makers within the CIO offices and acquisition offices throughout the federal government. So it's a very comprehensive type program, although it's small. I mean, we have 60 people. We are not GSA, but we do believe that we have a very successful campaign on how to engage our customers, how to walk them through the life cycle engagement process. How to take strangers to make them aware of what we do, right through to have them consider, is this a good option? Mm. It's not always a good option, but we at least want those buyers out there, those CIOs, to consider it, to look at it, to see if there's value in it. And then we walk them right through how to place orders. I mean, the simplification, the streamlined process we've put in place to be able to place orders, to track everything that they buy, to know who they're buying it from, to know what they're paying for it throughout the life cycle of that procurement. So our program office is about building relationships. It's about building relationships with our customers. It's about building strong relationships with our contract holders. And I believe that's what makes it successful.
Well, it's popular because there's not a loser in the mix. The government wins, the contractors win, and the taxpayers win. There's no downside.
Absolutely. At the end of the day, what we're looking to do is delight our customers to be our advocates. What we see is that when we're able to engage with a customer, we're able to get out there and talk about what we have to offer, they become our advocates. They are the ones who are selling it within their own agency and convincing other buyers within their agency to consider the use of the NITAC vehicles because of that customer service, because of that relationship that you'll have with our office, that whenever you pick up the phone, you're going to talk to somebody. Whenever you send an email, you're going to get a response within one hour. Whenever you have a difficult acquisition question, whether you're starting to develop a statement of work, we have templates we can provide you. We can help walk you through how to get that acquisition done and advise you on should this be done in a best value environment? Should this be done through a cost type contract or should it be done through a fixed price contract? What should our evaluation factors be? Do you have similar orders that you've done in the past that we can look at or that you can advise us on so that we do this so that it's the most successful procurement? We're looking for successful procurements. We're looking for contract holders to perform. We monitor the performance of our contract holders. We keep metrics on every single contract holder to make sure that they're compliant, not only compliant with our contracts at the master contract level, but are also that they're delighting our customers at the delivery level. And that's really important to us.
Okay. A lot to digest. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. My guest is Rob Cohn of NITAC, and we'll be back after this. Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Rob Cohn of NITAC, NIH, the GWAC office for NIH and probably for HHS, too.
Absolutely.
There you go. And technically for a lot of other people as well.
That's right.
So that's where I want to go. Max Peterson, formerly of CDW, Dell, now at Amazon, and I had a four-hour discussion once upon a time. And in the middle of the discussion, he said, and this is right after he was with CDW, he said, whenever my salespeople are in front of a government buyer, they need a trifecta to sell from, a three-legged stool. And the three-legged stool was a GSA schedule, the ECS vehicle at the time, and soup. He said, if my salespeople cannot sell from one of these, they're not talking to a Fed. So CIOCS has a long history. Run through it really briefly, but what I want to get to here is what's the big scope of this thing and how has it evolved into that?
So, as I said, CIOCS is a follow-on contract to the ECS3 vehicle. ECS3 vehicle, primarily an IT products vehicle, was around for 20 years. There were three iterations of it since back in the 1990s. And we learned a lot from that contract. We learned a lot of the pitfalls in that contract, but we also learned some of the things that really worked well in that contract. So when we were looking at the follow-on to ECS3, we felt from talking with government customers, from talking with industry, that we needed to take a different approach. We needed to build a contract that was more dealing with today's challenges, not yesterday's challenges. We didn't need another contract that you could buy your laptops on or buy your servers on or buy your simple IT products on.
They can go to schedule for that.
Right. Although you can buy those on CIOCS and you can buy them more quickly and at a better price than GSA.
Well, there you go.
For that
don't go to GSA.
But in addition to that, we really wanted to build that contract to meet all of the on-site demands for IT, but also the off-site technologies, the cloud technologies, those managed service technologies, those strategic challenges that CIOs have. And this is evolving. This is going to continue to evolve over 10 years. So the design of this contract is not to meet just today's needs. It is designed to meet the changing needs of IT, and they're changing every day. So the contract is set up to... first of all, to the vetting process to get these 65 winners on the contract, they had to be able to show that they're able to evolve, that they have evolved over time, and they had to show how they're going to evolve over the next 10-year period to meet these new challenges, even though we don't even necessarily know what those challenges are yet.
Mm-hmm.
So the scope of the contract has changed quite a bit. To really include some of those more sophisticated IT commodity type managed solutions that can be bought in the fixed price environment, but this contract isn't about transactions. This contract is not built on this program is not built on being a transaction based program. This contract is built on being a relation based program. We pride ourselves on building strong relationships, as I said, with industry, but also those strong relationships with customers. Sure, if a customer wants to come and they want to place a few orders to buy some simple IT commodities, go at it. You're going to get a good price, and you're going to get it delivered quickly, and you're going to get it from some of the best contractors out there. But we're working with our customers to help them resolve some of those major IT challenges, those major new challenges that the CIOs have. And as I said, we're working with those IT manufacturers that aren't on our vehicle, but are partners with our contract holders, to be able to find some of those new technologies to meet these changing needs, and to be able to put those into solutions and to build it into a fixed price and to be able to sell it to the government. That's what this contract is all about. It's about the most sophisticated IT challenges that these companies have proven that they're going to be able to provide to our customers.
Okay. So your ability to add evolving technologies to the vehicle is built in.
It's one of the most important parts of the vehicle is the ability for our contract holders to add new items, new solutions on a daily basis. We're running on average a 6-hour turnaround time. When a contract holder submits to us through an electronic system, the new solutions that they want to be able to provide on the vehicle, we can review them. We look at the scope. We look at the price. We make sure that they've discounted. We make sure that it's below GSA pricing, and we get it out there for the customers to be able to solicit and get bids on it. So that is a very, very important part of this contract, is the ability for the contract holders to continually to build their list of what they're selling on this vehicle, and build a strong list of solutions that our customers are looking for, and to do it very, very quickly.
Okay, because you're a relationship-driven vehicle, when the customers are looking for something, what's your mechanism for understanding the direction they're going in and filling those voids? Yeah, you have processes for everything. I'm assuming you have a process for this.
Sure. So we'll start with our customer support. So customers come to us and they can submit an email. They can call us. They can submit it through our website, whatever way they want to. And we will get the right people involved in helping them develop whatever types of solutions they're looking for. We'll pull industry into it. We'll have discussions. I'm a strong believer in the whole Mythbusters memo that came out many, many years ago from OFPP when Dan Gordon was there.
Yeah.
Really encouraging our customers. Let's use our systems to go out to our contract holders, do RFIs. Let's help industry build this. Let's help industry put some input into what some of the solutions can be to these challenges, and then we work very closely with those customers to be able to build a procurement that is going to work, and to follow it through the life cycle of that procurement. We're not a program that you place an order and you'll never hear from us again. We're continually engaged with our customers. It is the strong value of this program is to build relationships, but to build lifelong strong relationships, so that that's what we're all about, is to support them.
I know part of your management philosophy, and I want to talk about that. I want to start it now and interrupt it. So we're going to take a break now and come back and talk about the NITAC office literally as a business. So my guest today is Rob Cohn from NITAC at NIH, and you're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm here today with Rob Cohn of NITAC at NIH, and we haven't done this yet, so you can find them at NITAC.NIH.gov, NITAC.NIH.gov. I suggest you go there. The website is quite robust, and there's also links to their social media engagement and their webcast, NITAC Now. All good stuff. Rob, I was talking to your deputy Todd prior to you even arriving in studio, and we were talking about the management philosophy here. So let's start with that and why you think running NITAC is like running a real business.
Sure, Mark. So let me tell you a little bit about my leadership style. I believe that leaders inspire by action. I believe that, you know, in order to run a successful organization or a successful business, you have to set a vision. You have to hire the right people. You have to hire the right talent. More times than not, you want to hire people that are a lot smarter than you are. And you just have to deliver to them what you believe is the vision for the program, and really and make a convincing argument of why you do what you do, and why we do what we do is for one reason, and that is to help our customers, to help the CIOs, to help the contracting officials throughout the government. So I put a lot of trust in my staff. We have a small staff of about 60 people, but they're there and they understand that the vision of this program is about the why of who we are, the why of the customer service, and without our customers, we don't exist. And that's just like any business, right? So yeah, we do run the program like it's a business. As I said, I spent a lot of time working with entrepreneurs for over 15 years, helping them go through the difficult process of startup to grow, to growing to midsize into a large business. So one of the things that attracted me to this program was the ability to come in and not run a typical government program. We are running a business inside of the friendly confines of the federal government. We have to meet a bottom line. We have to meet our objectives. We have to service our customers. As I said, the most important thing that we do every day is talk with our customers, just to make sure that they're getting what they need, they're getting the support and the assistance that they need. So a little bit about the vision of what we're doing. So we've set out recently with basically a new vision with the award of the CIOCS vehicle. It's called Accelerate Team, and that is a three-year program based on the life cycle engagement model, how we deliver excellence to our customers, and that's all about customer service. It's about delighting our customers, making them our advocates, using them to spread the word about how we can help and how we can add value to the federal CIO community, to the federal acquisition community, and that's basically what it is that we're trying to do. We're trying to overinvest. We want to overinvest in our contract holders. We want our contract holders to overinvest in us. We want our contract holders to look at this program as their vehicle of choice, because we believe that if we can set the standards and set the policies and streamline the process for industry, that's what they want. They want a vehicle that they can look to and send to their customers and push out and make aware to their customers that this is the vehicle of choice. Because guess what? You're going to get the best price on this vehicle. You're going to get the quickest turnaround time on this vehicle. And you're going to get quality. And it's all about quality. We're not a program that's just set up to, as I said, run a bunch of transactions through our contract vehicle, and then we're going to send out a report at the end of the year that we did so many transactions for so many dollars. That's not what we're about. We're very much about, as I said, building strong relationships, building strong partnerships, helping the acquisition officials throughout the government who need help. We all know that the most stressed part of the federal government is the contracting and acquisition field. They're inundated with work. They need help. They're looking for help. So one of our challenges is to get out there and make sure that they know that there is help out there. We want to help them. We want to be able to interact with them.
If you're an 1102, people in this little interview booth know that you're overworked, underpaid, and undertrained. And listen carefully, because NITAC can help.
Right. And I served as an 1102 for many years when I came here, and I have a staff of 1102s, but just not
undertrained.
Absolutely not. We have some of the best 1102s with a specific field of knowledge of IT. So this is one of the last parts of the program that I didn't talk about was recently, over the past couple of years, we've set up an arm of our program that is devoted to providing assisted acquisition services to our customers. There are many CIOs out there who cannot get their challenges met because they can't get an order through, or they don't have a contracting office in order to get those things that they need. So they can come to us. We have the most talented, the most trained, the most certified, everybody's FACSI level certified 1102 in our office, with 20 years of experience in just doing IT procurements. So those federal agencies can come to us if they have challenges in getting a contracting office to be able to get something done when they need it. So as I said, they can go to our website and they can read about how we've set up an agile procurement process so that those customers who really do need that acquisition support service can come to us and we're able to help deliver that, and we deliver it with quality. Again, we are a resource. We are a resource for the entire IT procurement lifecycle. We're not just about contract vehicles. We're not just about pushing transactions through a vehicle. We're about helping those people out there in the federal government who need help. And we're about educating and getting the word out, making sure that every single contracting officer in the government is aware that this is an option for them.
Okay. Now, over the last, several months anyway, you seem to have been raising the visibility of NITAC and its various programs. Has this been conscious on your side, or is it just kind of a culmination of things? Or
we've been doing this for many, many years,
yeah.
But we're trying to raise it to the next level.
Okay.
So, as we all know, we hear these discussions about duplications of contracts throughout the federal government, right? Mm-hmm. What we're trying to do is to be part of that conversation. I spend an awful lot of time reaching out to acquisition executives in the government and CIOs in the government. When I hear that they're trying to stand up a multiple award contract to meet a specific need within their agency, of course, everybody thinks they're different and they all need their own little contracts to meet their own little challenges, right?
Everybody's
unique.
Big
challenges.
Yeah.
I feel that our job as an executive agent of OMB is to help OMB, try to reduce the duplication of these IT contracts. So we go out there and we meet with the CIOs. We show them, hey, if you use these vehicles, we can provide you with all the information you need. The tracking of everybody is buying, who they're buying it from, how much they're paying for it, but more importantly, that they can tailor their task and delivery orders with their terms and conditions for their agency, and with our assistance to be able to get it done more quickly. There's an enormous amount of infrastructure that goes into setting up these GWACs, and it's not just us; it's NASA SUP, it's GSA. Running those GWAC programs. It's over 20 years of work that's gone into doing this. 20 years of work in building IT systems the one we have called the Electronic Government Ordering System, building those systems so that a customer can go into, very simply, put an order into the system. It's going to be reviewed by us, and it's going to go out to our contract holders that same day. And the bids can be turned around quickly from our contract holders because that's part of the quality that we expect from our contract holders, that they're able to turn around bids and turn around quality bids to our customers in a streamlined manner. So all of this is done within a system, a very sophisticated IT system that can be used as a record for every single transaction that is delivered through our contracts.
Very cool. Final thoughts.
No, just thank you, Mark, for being here. And as I said, we're here to, we're a resource, and we're here to support those customers who want to, learn more about us. I encourage them to reach out to us through our help desk or through the website, as you said, nitac.nih.gov.
What about on LinkedIn? You want them to reach out to you on LinkedIn?
And we're on LinkedIn, and it's a great resource. And myself, I am on LinkedIn, but the program is also on LinkedIn.
There you go.
So we're trying to use that as another engagement process to really utilize social media, utilize the NITAC Now But there's an enormous amount of information on all of those resources.
Very cool. And you'll find the link to the website on federalnewsradio.com under this show. So, Rob, again, thank you very much for coming in. I appreciate your time. This is not my day job. If you need help marketing a GWAC, give me a shout. I've been advising on GWACs since 1994 when Super Mini was awarded. And I'm not aware of anybody else that's got that track record. So,
that's right.
You have been listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com at 1500 AM. Thank you very much for doing so.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.